Blog Talk Radio.
Cannot stop him. Protesters have lost their rabbit-ass mind as babies are getting pepper sprayed, innocent people getting attacked, all because of Donald Trump and the misguided statements that he has made, which has inflamed people's anger and passion. But what's the point of tearing up police cars? What's the point of demonstrating in such a fashion that it doesn't reflect anything different than what happens at a rock concert or a street race event or the next hip-hop party? At some point, it is reflective of a national sentiment of disorder. We are empowering Donald Trump through our protest. In order for him to win the Republican nomination, he's probably going to have to come through California. So at the end of the day, is the national trend of anger towards Trump and his inflamed statements an irresponsible response? Or, now, when I saw a little girl get pepper sprayed a couple of days ago because she just happened to be at a Trump protest, I just felt like this thing is not going in any positive direction. Secondly, when he got to Orange County last night, protesters clashed with the police and attacked innocent people on either side, actually. And I just get to the point, it's sort of like what I said prior about Black Lives Matter. It's important that you conduct yourself in such a manner that does not become the spectacle, and the media shifts from the substantive issues with regard to Donald Trump to your anger and violence surrounding him that you are creating. He's not creating it. So you get into the conundrum of America. Free speech is free speech. If you find it offensive, you can either not listen, tune it out, or go on about your day. Or find yourself in some type of protest mantra. Having analyzed the video of the protest and the reaction, and the fact that the county of Orange County now has to spend thousands to cruisers, take down graffiti that was sprayed all over personal property, all over property, you know, business, damaged cars. I just don't think that the rubber meets the road with regard to what it is you desire to get out of the protest. So if it's just a day that will go wild and acting out, I get that. All you needed was a six-pack and a blunt. But if it was to make a political statement, and my sense is that those that are leading the push toward violence are probably the least likely to vote. I see this as a way to empower Donald Trump because he hasn't been stopped. And now you have Speaker Boehner, former Speaker Boehner, pretty much saying what everybody in politics knows about Ted Cruz. He is not the one. I won't say that he's Lucifer in the flesh, but he led the government shutdown. He led the campaign against Obama. He tried to defund it by shutting it down, the government. And the fact that he came from the Klan of Sarah Palin suggests that all of the Republican politics really stink. They stink. And you have Donald Trump now giving his first policy speech, which seemed very sophomoric to me. I think a third grader could have put together more informative and intellectually guided statements than what we see here. But there is a suggestion that Donald Trump is doing nothing more than act and has played us all for fools. At least that's what Dr. Carson is saying, is that there's two Trumps. The one you see and the one he shows when it's time to be real, serious, or more humane. His comments about Hillary Clinton suggest that he's asphyxiated with women's issues. I don't know what that's about, but as soon as he opened his mouth to me, it suggested that, bro, you just had a victorious night with five primaries, you won them, but you can't keep your mouth out the gutter. So at the end of the day, you have reflected and have spoken so loudly to me that you do not want or respect the vote that I want to cast or wish to cast. Not necessarily for you, for the process, yet you're the loudest complainer about the process and the crookedness and the underhandedness. This isn't new. And the underhandedness. I agree with Carly Fiorina that at the end of the day, Donald Trump reflects the crookedness and the underhandedness. He is big establishment. He is too big to fail. So at the end of the day, his rhetoric suggests one clear thing to me. Racism, bigotism, bigotry will continue par excellence in the U.S. as long as folks support the likes of Donald Trump and folks that will come along after. I don't think it takes a high school diploma to figure out that Donald Trump is not made in the fashion of some of our lesser presidents. If I had to choose between President Trump or Nixon again, I'm going to go with Nixon. Okay? Because he does have some political skills. Donald Trump is an actor, acting his way to the White House. And we've all been duped to be divided through anger. And conquered through process. It's all this. Supposition is going to happen. All of this fodder, all of this back and forth, common sense. This is the direction this is going. So with that, it's time to think before you get yourself caught out there. Years ago, years, many. I was a little boy. And what election was that? I was a little boy, and with some elections in California going on, and my stepfather, and I had asked him about something. Why doesn't he have a placard or a sign or a bumper sticker on the car, like the people up the street in the neighborhood? And he said, oh, no. Oh, I don't do that. He's like, I know where I'm going to vote. I always vote Democratic. But no. I don't put any signs or anything that would get some other person to respond to my vehicle. He's like, the reason I don't is because I know someone who had a sign, probably during his stay in Alabama, Governor Wallace. And when it came out to, he said, when it came out to the car, all the windows had been busted, and the car had been dented up because of the political sign. So, you know, over the years, I just figured out that that's probably the better policy, is just don't get so caught up into the celebratory aspects of campaigning, particularly when Charlie Fiorina said it best. Not some, most politicians will say whatever it takes, and then once in office, will disregard you and whatever they said to get elected, and will do whatever the hell they want. And knowing that, you should probably take even more time now to ferret out some of the back and forth political gobbledygook that some of these candidates are talking about. Something to think about, okay? I don't have a projection for where we're at now. I'm pretty sure that Bernie Sanders will not win the Democratic ticket. But I'm also equally sure that if Hillary Clinton does not tap into a wide-growing support for Bernie Sanders, that she may end up in a numbers math game trying to beat the Republican candidate, who is most likely probably going to be Donald Trump. And I say this for two reasons. One is, presidential politics at a point gets to be nothing more than a script on both sides. I've seen this election or presidential election after presidential election. I think with the Koch brothers signaling that Hillary Clinton might in fact be a better choice than Donald Trump because of his polarizing statement, suggest that here we go again. The backroom deals have already been made and the votes have already been cast and the way this thing is going. And I said some shows ago, particularly when talking to GRX, that Donald Trump has a way of his mouth, and the beneficiary of that negativity has been Hillary Clinton. okay? Whether it's the abortion comments or running on the woman's card. Hey, you damn fool, white man, are you running on the white man's card? She's running on the female card because she's a female, you fool. That's foolish. Them statements are foolish. Furthermore, you have said nothing to give a sense for your future voters that you're going to do anything positive for females. At the end of the day, though, when you get into the rhetoric of John Kasich and Ted Cruz, it's equally disdainful with regard to women's issues. So it isn't unexpected that a Hispanic candidate would have to invariably take on the Latin card, and the black candidate, as we saw with Barack Obama, takes on the African-American card. That's just how we are, because we don't see nothing but race and gender. That's why the nation is having so many problems with bathrooms today, and no one knows how to be potty trained in it. I've even heard reports of masculine lesbian women being snatched out the bathroom or arrested because somebody reported them as being a man. Now you have a double entendre. The intended aspect of the law doesn't correspond with your internal viewpoint and your prejudice. Same with the protest of Donald Trump. He just showed up in San Francisco and is on his way to Burlingame for the California Republican Convention. And protests for protest's sake, I learned this in college, means nothing. Armchair revolutionary means nothing. If you're not going to vote or figure out a way to take a protest and then create a response by which what you're protesting against has to address you. We just saw this in UC Davis today after the 2011 pepper spraying of a bunch of students who were caught up in the Wall Street, I almost said Wall Street Lives Matter, but Occupy Wall Street movement, and it has taken nearly seven years to resolve, but it takes that. If you're serious about your protest, if you're serious about the issue, but if you're just out there grandstanding, getting drunk and high, trying to tear something up so that you can be eternally captured on FBI film, then you're a fool. You're as big a fool as the things you're protesting, and nothing will come of it. I'm going to take a break because I'm tired of hearing myself talk about this silly thing. Amazing, but I'm reading a Huffington Post article. Trump praises Sanders, but may struggle to win over his voters. As Donald Trump moves closer to clinching the Republican presidential nomination, he has offered lavish praise for Bernie Sanders, who faces increasingly slim chances with his battle with Hillary Clinton to win the Democratic race. Trump has begun calling for Sanders to run independent if he does not win the Democratic nomination and said he may borrow talking points from Sanders, features criticizing Clinton to use possible matchup with the former Secretary of State in the November 8th general election. I pointed out this, maybe 4 months ago now, conversation I was having here on the show, a rant, and then I had another conversation with GRX that both of these men doing the exact same thing, splitting up the party, increasing unlikely votership by getting a word out and increasing their likeness. But at the end of the day, Bernie Sanders is probably done more harm to the Democratic Party, just as Donald Trump has done more harm to the Democratic Party, to the Republican Party, which suggests that over time, the harm that they have done by discombobulating voters and creating new masses and bringing up all these issues, Bernie Sanders is right to bring up the issues about independent voting, primaries and caucuses, because you do get a false sense. When one particular party or another isn't allowed to play by the same rules as another party. Donald Trump is very appropriate in pointing out that the backroom nature of political wrangling on the Democratic and the Republican side rife for abuse, and it's wrong and it's crooked. However, it's always been wrong and crooked. In fact, that theme is what it seems that the Republicans most enjoyed about their process, the cloaky nature of it. I'll continue to read. Even though Trump, 69, and Sanders, 74, a U.S. Senator from Vermont, emphasizes some common themes such as criticism of Wall Street and international trade agreements, there's only limited crossover appeal between the two candidates, according to Reuters and the IPSOS data. Among voters who backed Trump, just 12% said Sanders would be their second choice if Trump were not in the race. Only slightly higher than the 7% who said Clinton would be their next pick. So at the end of the day, Sanders supporters also were even less willing than Trump backers to consider crossing over. See, we've gotten to this point in politics where, okay, it's like gangs now. I'm on the blue side, I'm on the red side. I'm on the side of the donkey, I'm on the side of the pachyderm, the elephant. And at the end of the day, what Sanders and Trump have both done has allowed a considerable amount of potential electorate and new votership to see beyond the status quo of how things have always been done. So if Hillary Clinton disavows this after she becomes the candidate on the Democratic side and just throws all of the Bernie Sanders sentiment out of the air, she might lose to Donald Trump because of the backroom nature and the negatives that she brings. Some degree, some logic that is always present now, but suggests that Hillary Clinton may be as equally polarizing as Donald Trump. And the woman's card is only going to work for, 50 to 52% of the electorate. I think most women make up 52% of registered voters. So the other 48 to 50% is men. While she may carry the woman's vote, but you're going to disavow some of Sanders' influence if you don't tap into that quickly and figure out a path to make peace with him and to gain his voters. So even though we're talking 12% said Sanders would be their choice if Trump were only in the race, Clinton needs them 12% to really do. And by the time we get to June in California, okay, particularly if everything plays out as it is, more protests, more violence around protests, the retheming of the whole issue by the media to suggest that protesters are out of line, and a clever white guy named Donald Trump that'll figure out a way to boof you again, get into your head, sound presidential, act, go for an Oscar, go for an Emmy, or a Tony. He's good at it, and you've allowed your nature for the pleasure of social media, the false interaction to it, to suggest a reality. So the construct is perfect for the perfect storm of a voter who is intellectually deficient and a politician who is intellectually proficient. Essentially brainwashing you. Something to think about. Tomorrow we have Real Talk, Real Game. I'm not certain if GRX will be on because I need to talk about a couple of cases dealing with medical marijuana and their voluminous. So I'll talk to him. And we'll decide sometime between now and tomorrow how we're going to tackle this issue. We will be talking about, two cases, at least two cases, that will affect the future of medical marijuana moving forward. So this is Real Talk, Real Politics. I'm your host, Marty. She already said I only got 90 seconds. And so with that 90 seconds, with some Leroy Hudson, closer to the source. Thank you.